Welcome to the Georgia Baptist Foundation podcast. I'm Jonathan Gray, the president and CEO of the Georgia Baptist Foundation. And I have the privilege today of having Buck Birch with us from the Georgia Baptist Mission Board to talk about how your church can be more engaged in doing mission work, both in your community and across this state and around the world. And so, Buck, it's a great privilege to have you here today. I know we've got some questions we're going to talk through, but really just excited to hear your heart for missions and to hear some ways maybe that you've got some recommendations for our churches. As we get started, I know, you know, you're a South Georgia boy, called to mission, spent time in Russia, now serving for several years now at the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. Just tell the folks that are listening today just a little bit about who you are, where you came from, and really maybe how the Lord led you to be so involved in missions and have such a heart for missions.
Okay, well, thank you, Jonathan. It is a joy to be with you today. I am from Middle Georgia. There's a line, wherever that is, between Middle and South. So my dad was a Southern Baptist preacher, and so growing up in church, I learned a lot about missions just because of the nature of our church's involvement in praying and supporting missionaries. When I went to seminary after accepting the call to being a pastor or a minister of some sort, I began to ask God what that meant. Did it mean just here? Did it mean somewhere else? And for several years, praying through that, working through that, was married and had two children serving in Hazelhurst, Georgia, at the time, even leading youth groups to do short-term mission work in Canada, Mexico. God laid a huge burden on our hearts for doing something outside the United States. So in 1997, my wife and I began to pray what that meant, asking God for direction. Long story short, we ended up as IMB missionaries in Russia. Served for 13 years before coming back and being able to support the giving mechanism for missions in Georgia and the going now in Georgia.
So let me ask just a question about that. So how old were like you and your wife and your kids mm-hmm. when y'all surrendered that call? Because you had spent some time in ministry here in the States before you felt like the Lord was leading you to go overseas, right?
Yeah, I was young when I was ordained. So I was 22 years old when my wife and I were married. I was ordained and became a pastor. At the age of 28, I'd already finished seminary, a few years of pastoring. I was on staff as an associate pastor in Hazelhurst. So when God finally put us in Russia, I was 29 years old.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And kids were pretty young back then?
Yeah, 4 and 2. We had another one while we were there. So, yeah, but four years old and 2 years old when we went.
Now, talk just a little bit, because I know there might be some folks that are listening to this podcast that maybe the Lord's working in their heart and they're young, got a young family, and just struggling with whether or not to take that young family overseas. Any words of wisdom kind of from your experience and just how the Lord provided for y'all as y'all made what to some folks would seem like a difficult decision?
Well, I think there's an advantage to being a Southern Baptist because I know that it's a difficult thing to leave parents, grandparents behind when you're going somewhere, especially as a young family and you're thinking, you know, what am I getting my kids into? But because we were with the International Mission Board, the Southern Baptist Convention, we knew there was a strong support mechanism for member care and especially for MKs, missionary kids. So learning all about that gave us a big assurance, reassurance in our hearts that where we were going to be cared for.
Now, in going to Russia, I know, of course, it's been several years since you've been back on the stateside and you were there 13 years. Give us a little context. What was going on? Had the Soviet Union had fallen by that mm-hmm. point in time? Just kind of give us some context of you. You know, going into that setting and what Russia was like at the time.
Yeah, Russia was relatively fresh at that time. In 1991 was when the fall of communism happened. And immediately after that, the International Mission Board has started sending missionaries into Russia from other fields. So by and large, the ones that were IMB in Russia had some kind of previous service. We were part of the first draft, I guess you would say, of recruits. So in 1998, when we landed, we were some of the very first ones who had never been missionaries before to arrive in Russia. Again, it was fresh, so the field itself was very open to American ideas of Christianity, but it was for a window. And that point is I had the opportunity of actually sharing that at the Georgia Baptist Convention in 2000. 7, I believe it was, that I felt like that window was going to close. Mm. And that's where we are today.
Interesting. Interesting. Now, in your time in Russia, just any unique situations, stories, anything you think the audience might like to hear, just of what a unique opportunity it was to be there in Russia in that time?
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I thought through a whole lot of funny stories and maybe even some anecdotes. But the one thing that sticks out in my mind the most was when we were in Bryansk, Russia, right at the very beginning, to be able to see not just IMB, but several other missions agencies come together. We saw Samaritan's Purse with the Operation Christmas Child. We saw the Jesus film, Wycliffe Bible Translators, IMB, Rick Gage Evangelism Crusades, and the Gideons all kind of converge into a point where we were sharing the gospel and getting the Jesus film out in a two-week period. It was tremendously bigger than anything that we expected. In a two-week period in Bryansk, we had 40,000 people came to watch the film in 14 different locations throughout the city. Of those 40,000, 14,000 decisions for Christ.
Wow.
And
that
so to be able to see and be a part of that, that's probably one of the biggest, most memorable things.
That is incredible. And what a neat, neat experience. Really. Well, you know, one of the things that I thought of as I was traveling in today, getting ready for this podcast was, and this is a question that's a little bit off the cuff, but just curious from your experience in Russia, kind of having that hands-on interaction, just what's your take on what's going on with Russia and Ukraine? Anything you think would say you got a little different perspective than, say, the typical American would have based off of your involvement there?
Yeah, I would say so, because I got a chance to see both Russian culture and Ukrainian culture from a non-political standpoint. Mm-hmm. Without making any kind of comments of who's right and who's wrong and who should be trusted and who doesn't, I guess for me, the thing that hits me most is most of Ukraine and Russia consider themselves as brothers or cousins. They never have fully considered that there was this dividing line between them under the Soviet Union. So to look at what's going on right now, what's tragic is it's really a civil war and that's affecting families on both sides. And we've seen it happen or have an impact on the Russian Baptist Church, the Ukrainian Baptist Church there, because they were so close, and now they're finding themselves on two sides of a war.
Yeah, it makes it extremely difficult, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does. And I know Baptists through the years, when the Soviet Union fell, we really made a lot of trips to Russia and to the Ukraine. I know many of our churches here in Georgia did that. And so just to see what's happening, I know is just really heartbreaking, knowing that the relationships that we've had through the years. Well, kind of going back to the missions concept, I'd just be curious if there's someone paying attention to our podcast today, and they're kind of struggling with, you know, is God calling me to missions? You know, I know the annual meeting coming up is going to talk about calling out the called. Mm-hmm. You know, what words of wisdom would you give to someone that says, yeah, I'm not sure if the Lord's calling me to missions or not? What words of wisdom might you give them?
Well, I guess the looking back, you know, what God did in our lives to lead us up to the point of becoming career missionaries, I would say that the biggest element of wisdom I could share would be take it in steps. Hmm. The first thing I would encourage a person to do is not immediately buy a plane ticket to a foreign country, but start looking at how they could serve cross-culturally in their own community through their local church.
Yeah, that's good.
And I would say from there, start exploring which avenues of that service are experiencing a blessing. It's kind of like, you know, the person who says, I feel called to sing in the choir, and no one else feels that call on that person. So it's an element of getting a pastor or church leaders to observe your ministry and to be able to say, you know what, God's blessing you in this area. That might be the venue through which God leads you to be involved. And then I would say start taking short-term mission trips with your church. Using those gifts, find out what your spiritual gifts are and use them on those trips and ultimately become a leader of short-term trips. When that happens, I would say if a person already is leading others to be on mission, then they're ready and they could start getting in contact with an international mission board, North American mission board, wherever God's leading, but one of the questions that the boards are going to ask are, tell me about your past experience. So I would encourage them, build on that right now.
Yeah, that's a good word. It really is. And I know there may be some listening to the podcast that are just, once again, praying about that, trying to decide what God's doing in their life. And it certainly sounds like it was an incredible experience for you and something that you've held, I know, close to your heart for these years. And even now, with your work with Georgia Baptist, are continuing to encourage folks to either financially support missions or to go on missions themselves. Mm-hmm. And so that's great. Well, I wanted to take some time as we gather together was just to kind of learn and let the audience learn a little bit about you and your background, and for them to really just kind of see that when you come to us and you share with us just about how a church can be involved in missions, I mean, that's something that you've lived out. You know, you're not just coming in telling us what to do, but you have done it. You've been there. You've had those experiences, and which I think sets you apart from others that, you know, may be trying to give some direction on this. So I know our time together, we wanted to focus on the ways that churches could get involved and churches could do more from a mission standpoint. So I'm going to turn it back over to you and just let you kind of share with us some of the work that you're doing there with the Georgia Baptist Mission Board and some ways that we can help churches really get prepared and get engaged in mission work themselves.
Sure, sure. So one of the things that we are really heavily involved in is helping a local church identify what God is calling for them to address in terms of their mission fields. If we look in Acts 1:8, there are four different fields that are mentioned. There's a Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So we try, in consultation with church leadership, whether that's the pastor or a missions leader or a missions team, helping them to identify who is their Jerusalem, their local field. Who would they identify as their regional? Who would be their national partner? And who would be an international place that they could focus? From there, start figuring out ways to help more and more people in the church engage in mission, not just praying about it and not just giving money to it, but actually going and being involved in those things. So the third component of that would be calendaring that throughout the year so that a local church could be involved in missions year-round, whether that's something local, regional, national, or international.
Yeah, that's great. And for, say, let's just say that you've got a layperson in the church that really has a heart for missions. Their church is not doing much, would love to see their church kind of take that step to where they actually begin to engage. What would be some steps? Like, who would they contact? What would be some logistical things that they might could do, or some resources maybe that Georgia Baptists have that would be able to help them as they're trying to take those next steps?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, because that's exactly where we are right now in terms of our priority with Georgia Baptist Mission Board. The thing we've discovered recently is of all of our churches, right at about 5%, but a little less than 5% of our churches actually have a staff person who is responsible for missions, whether that's full-time or part-time. There's another 14% who have a volunteer who calls his title something related to missions, but usually that's involved in planning a trip. Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing is when you're looking at over 80% of our churches without missional leadership, we're really trying to help a church have a layperson who can become a missional outreach leader. That's why right now we're developing missional outreach leader training. We've got some summits that are starting in December in South Georgia, in North Georgia in January, in Central Georgia in March of this upcoming year. And as a result of those things, we're hopeful that a pastor and a lay person can walk through a clear outline of training where a church can then identify those fields and lay out a plan for engagement with partnerships.
That sounds great. So let me just kind of repeat for the audience, make sure I understand what you're saying. If there's somebody there in the church that says, hey, I want to take a leadership role and try to initiate our church to do more from a missions perspective, then if they'll reach out to you at the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, not only have you got contacts and recommendations, but also there's some training that will soon be available to kind of help guide them through that, and that you'd be able to help them in that regard. That's
absolutely
great. Yeah,
absolutely.
That is great. Well, we talked a little bit about from the standpoint of the church and the church going on mission, but what about the person sitting in the pew that maybe has never gone on a mission trip and maybe they're apprehensive about going on a mission trip? Any words of wisdom that you would share with that individual as they're trying to decide, well, maybe the Lord wants me to go, and I'm not sure if I want to go or not?
Yeah, there's always a risk of stepping out of your comfort zone. And I would encourage a person who's never been on a mission trip to make a local engagement one of the first things they do. We're really seeing some momentum right now, even with children doing one-day mission trips in a nearby area.
Oh yeah.
So having families that can go together, there's some comfort in that, and there's some safety in that. And then also, I would say if that person is feeling like God may be wanting me to be involved, just take that step. Plan something in an organized fashion where it's not just, hey, I'm buying a ticket and going somewhere, but my church is putting together an event where I can join in and I can get that experience. However, I will say, Jonathan, there are many churches that don't do that, and yet I've discovered there may be another church down the road that would readily invite an individual in and say, hey, look, we're taking a trip. We'd love for you to come along with us. And the great thing about that is if that's a great experience, they could come back and bring it to their church and start something new.
Yeah, and what's been my experience when I was a pastor was that the church that we were involved in wasn't doing missions, and so we decided to do missions. But the church that I was a part of was so small, I didn't have enough people willing to go. And so we worked through the association to get a group of folks through the association. And so one resource that people might be able to look to is their association to see what other churches are taking trips, or maybe the association itself is taking a trip. If their local church is not hosting a trip themselves, then that might be a good connection point just for them to reach out to the local association. I know it was helpful for me back in those years when I was serving in smaller churches and only had a small group of people that could go.
And so, Jonathan, I'll mention along those lines, one of the key things with an association is that there are partnerships that are drafted. Hmm. And so already knowing where the focus is going to be, it's a huge help for a person or a local church to see what other sister churches in that association are involved in and go together.
Yeah, and with that, I know at one point in time we were talking about the state being divided into six areas and those areas kind of having partnerships established with the pioneering or emerging state conventions and also with some international places. Would you like to just mention a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I can mention there's quite a lot because we've kind of done a plug-and-play laying the groundwork for 18 different partnerships.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so regionally, there is a most lost zip code in every region, each one of the six regions. And we've worked with a leader, usually it's a pastor in that local area, to help churches by facilitating them coming in and doing mission work. There are six different state conventions that we have partnered with, and that includes Puerto Rico, Michigan, New York, Pennsylvania, South Jersey, New England, Utah, Idaho. All of those are great partnership areas right now. And if a church is interested in connecting with any of those, we've already got the groundwork laid where they can go and have a church-to-church relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's also six different international fields that we've encouraged, and we've developed the partnerships in Central and South America, including Guatemala, Nicaragua, Peru, Colombia, Ecuador, Argentina, and I think I'm leaving one out. And I don't remember what it is right now because of my mind. But
with that, it sounds like y'all have already laid a pretty significant groundwork of relationships where somebody wants to be involved, wants to serve, or their church wants to go. Y'all have already got a lot of that logistical work worked out
Absolutely.
For them to be able to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And moreover, we do have a team that has partnered with us for a local church who has never done anything. They will come in, and their ministry is, once the plane ticket is bought, they don't really have to worry about anything else. They take care of all transportation, all everything internal in the country.
Sounds like they made it really easy.
They have.
That's great. Let me back up to one thing you just said. It kind of sparked my interest. So did I understand you correctly to say that here in Georgia, y'all have identified in each of the regions the zip code that is basically the least evangelized
Yes.
zip code in that region?
Yes, we have.
Oh, wow. Well, I think that would be something just as an initial start for someone who wants to step outside of their, say, local setting just a little bit. There's a place within, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe an hour from where they are that they can see really where there's a need for the gospel in that area.
Let me speak to that just a minute. In two of those locations, we've had what are called crossover events where lots of churches have come together for a one-day mission trip. We did it in Columbus with a crossover Columbus event this past year, and over 100 people were saved as a result of it. In Augusta, we also had one huge results, but that became a precursor to something that's going to happen next year with Serve Augusta. Any church in Georgia can be involved in a project. It's a service project that will reach out in the community and share the gospel February the 9th and 10th of 2024. Okay. So that's a great opportunity for anyone to come and be involved in missions here in Georgia.
And I guess there'll be more and more information getting out about that for people to know how to get involved with.
That's exactly right.
Now, would you say is Augusta and Columbia areas within there that are those least reached?
Yes,
zip codes?
Those are the two. In those areas, there's Augusta, there's Columbus. Savannah is one in one region. Cumming, Georgia, is one, believe it or not. Lawrenceville is one.
Interesting.
So it's the way that we've determined that is by looking at zip codes and seeing who lives in those zip codes and finding out where they have been involved in local churches. And it just so happens that those particular zip codes have more unchurched, lost people.
So if a pastor says, hey, I want to reach in my area or maybe even another area, I want to find out where the lostness is the greatest, then they can reach out to you and get that information.
More than that, if a pastor wants to know about his own community, he can contact us and we can help run reports within a 1 mile and even a 3 mile radius that will help him know the demographics as well as lostness in his area.
Oh, that would be extremely helpful. I don't know if all of our pastors know that. That's great. Well, as we kind of bring this to a close, is anything else that you would say, hey, I want to make sure that I get out to those that are listening as it relates to missions?
Well, I would just say, you know, when you think about mission trips, a lot of times you think of the logistics. You think of, a lot of times we called it S-E-T-T. You thought about where to sleep, what to eat, what transportation you were going to have, and translators would be needed. I will just say this, God is going to work out all of those details if you have a willing heart to say yes. And so I would just say,
that's
Jonathan, when people are wanting to go, God's going to provide the way.
Yeah. So for Buck and myself, both of us having been on mission trips and led mission trips, I can tell you if you've never taken the opportunity to go or even lead a mission trip, it is something that just will bless your life in ways that you would be amazed just to see what God would do. Well, it's been great for us to visit together. I would like to just share with our audience, you know, the Georgia Baptist Foundation, you know, we're not necessarily the front line of ministry like you've been, Buck, with the missions and other things. We really sit back in kind of a support position to try to make sure that there's resources available for people to be able to go on mission as God calls them out. And I just love to, for those that are listening, to know that we have hundreds of people through the years that have had a heart for missions. And they've taken some of their resources and have used those resources really to advance the cause of Christ through missions. And they've done that in a couple ways. In most cases, they're going to set up some type of fund that will support missions on an annual basis. And in some cases, it will go to the Georgia Baptist Mission Board or to the IMB or to the North American Mission Board and just support the organization. And we have a lot of funds that do that. But we also have funds that are set up where someone says, I want to make sure that my people in my local church have resources to go on these mission trips, because it does cost money for plane tickets and lodging and those kind of things. And so you may be listening to us today and you say, you know, I'd love to not only be involved in missions personally and to go, but I'd also like to help others go. And I'd like to set up a fund that benefits people in my church for them to be able to go on mission trips. And we'd love, our staff here at the Georgia Baptist Foundation would love to just help you set up one of those funds so that we can see more resources being available for people to go and to be involved in local and statewide and international missions. So if we can help you with that, we'd love to do so. Well, Buck, it's been great to have you with us today, and appreciate you just sharing from your heart and from your experience. And we hope that the time that we spent together will help others and encourage them to say that they would be interested and be willing and have a desire to go do more from a mission standpoint. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
We appreciate you visiting with us, and I look forward to seeing you again in the future. And thank you so much for taking time to listen to our podcast. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to rate and subscribe to our podcast content so you don't miss an episode. At the Georgia Baptist Foundation, we exist to help churches and their members faithfully steward all that God has blessed them with while effectively leveraging their resources for kingdom purposes. We do this in two primary ways. First, we help individuals include gifts in their estate plans and provide assistance with establishing charitable annuities and trusts. Second, we offer long-term, morally screened investments that allow churches and ministries to better steward ministry dollars. If you want to learn more about how we can help you or your church do more with the resources God has blessed you with, contact us at our website at www.gbfoundation.org. Connect with us on social media as well to stay up to date with our latest podcast content, as well as news on educational events and opportunities.